Some devotees have joined us from New Jersey, it looks like. Yes? You came this afternoon for the group? Yeah, you. Huh? Okay, there's a group from New Jersey?
They're still outside.
They're outside.
Okay.
Okay, so everyone's in here, so... This morning, on the topic of loving relationships, the theme or the main point was purity, internal purity, having no material desire permits a relationship where there's no expectation from the other person, simply the relationship itself, the relationship of serving. And service unto the Supreme, service unto the devotees of the Lord, and when entering into relationship with that kind of pure heart, or cultivating that kind of pure heart, then there can be very nice loving relationships. So I refer to one verse and from Krishna's discussion with Uddhava in Uddhava Gita, 11th canto. I thought I would start with reading that one. Krishna speaking to Uddhava. I desire to purify with the dust of the lotus feet of my own devotees the material worlds which are situated within me. Now this is Hridayananda Maharaja's translation, 11th canto. I'm going to read a different one. Thus I always follow the footsteps of my pure devotees, who are free from personal desires. Wrapped in thought of my pastimes, peaceful, without any feelings of enmity, and of equal disposition, everywhere. Nirapeksham is the Sanskrit word, without personal desire. There's desire because desire is of the soul. Desire in relation to Krishna is natural, but not apart from Krishna. That's unnatural. For those who have attained that, having position of having no desire apart from Krishna, no personal desire. Krishna desires, here the translation reads that he's desiring to purify the worlds because the devotees are holding Krishna in their heart, and by Krishna's lotus feet being in their heart, their lotus feet will purify the worlds. That's Hridayananda Maharaja's translation. There's another translation. I walk in the heels, or the Sanskrit word is anu vrajami. Anu is to follow. So I follow in the footsteps. I walk on the heels of my bhaktas, so that I may be purified by the dust of their lotus feet. This is a translation that one of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disciples, one of Prabhupada's godbrothers, O.B.L. Kapoor, was published in the Back to Godhead magazine years ago. During Prabhupada's time, he approved the article. the idea, the one of the purposes of quoting this verse is how Krishna feels attraction for pure devotion. It's a mystery, or it's a paradox that Krishna, who's all attractive, becomes attracted by bhakti. In fact, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says it's a spiritual law. Of course, Krishna makes all laws, and he can break the material laws, but he doesn't break the spiritual laws. Krishna, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that Krishna, like a magnet attracts iron filings, Bhagavan is attracted by bhakti. Krishna is all attractive, he's the magnet, and we're the little iron filings. But Krishna, it's the relationship of love is reciprocal. Relationship is not one way. Relationship is two ways. And when relationship, referring back again to this morning's class, when the heart is pure, that attracts the all-attractive. He who is the all-attractive becomes attracted. Or he who is the supreme controller becomes controlled. I'll read the ninth canto statement, the in the Maharaj Ambarish story, when Durvas Muni, who's being pursued by Sudarshan, goes to Lord Brahma, then Lord Shiva, both of whom say, we're the servants. And that Sudarshan is the implement of Lord Vishnu. You have to go to Lord Vishnu if you want relief from Sudarshan. So the first thing that Lord Vishnu says when Durvas Muni is out of breath, panting, and please save me, this heat of the Sudarshan chakra, my life is at risk. I had no idea how elevated Ambarish Maharaj was. I'm very, very sorry. And this Sudarshan, please do something. The personality Godhead says, I'm helpless. I can't do anything. Because I'm at the beck and call of my devotee. And only if my devotee says okay, is it okay. I'm controlled by him. The supreme controller becomes controlled by the devotee who doesn't want anything. Here's the translation, Prabhupada's translation. I am completely under the control of my devotees. I am not at all independent. He's fully independent. And the fullness of that independence he places at the feet of his devotees upon whom he is dependent. By the fullness of his free will. Unlimited free will. Because my devotees are completely devoid of material desires, I sit only within the core of their hearts. What to speak of my devotee? Even those who are devotees of my devotees are very dear to me. So the title of the topic for this evening is, can surrender be self-abandonment, or is surrender self-realization? And there is a kind of I've seen in the Sangha of Vaishnavas where devotees think, or even not devotees think, just serving the wishes of others is what I should be doing. You know, who I am and what's important to me, what my needs are, and anything like that doesn't matter. I should just, whatever anybody wants, I should just do that. And that's self-abandonment. It's not theistic, and it's certainly not spiritual. But, on the other hand, when Krishna makes a call in Bhagavad Gita for surrender unto Him, that's not only theistic, it's fully spiritual. And it provides the opportunity for full self-realization. It's in one's actual interest, and therefore it's not self-abandonment, it's self-realization. In Adi Purana, one of the sections of Adi Purana that we're accustomed to hearing is where Krishna says to Arjuna, just as Bhagavad Gita is a discussion between Krishna and Arjuna. So in Adi Purana, there's also a discussion between Krishna and Arjuna. And there Krishna says, one who says, he is my devotee, he's not my devotee. For one who is the devotee of my devotee, he's my devotee. So in that same section, Krishna also says to Arjuna, some people say that I'm seated in the heart of the yogis who are meditating upon me. Some people say that I am to be found within the scriptures, and those who deeply study the scriptures can find me there. But I declare, where my devotees are singing my glories, I go and sit there at their feet. That's where I can be found. So I don't know if anyone felt Krishna's presence during kirtan, but Krishna is declaring to Arjuna, that's where I can be found. There's an argument, an atheistic argument, that says all there is matter and the laws that govern matter, and there isn't anything else. Any other explanation of things is just sentiment, because all there is matter and laws that govern matter. There's nothing else. But we find that through mystic power, persons that know the art can manipulate the laws of matter or laws of nature and defy the laws of nature by mystic cities. Like, you know, the law of gravity, something that should fall won't fall, it will rise. It becomes lighter than a feather and will just float. Or it can become very small, or it can become very big, or obtain something from a distant place, etc. The laws of nature can be defied. What to speak of, that's not all there is. But our acharyas describe in this way that the law of devotion or law of bhakti is so strong because Krishna supports it, that can't be defied even by Krishna. Of course, Krishna can if he wants to. But Krishna doesn't want to. And so, it's not defined. Like the wonderful pastime of Krishna finding pride in the hearts of the gopis when he called them in the dead of night, and so he disappeared. And when he disappeared, they went mad searching for Krishna. And began, in their feelings of separation from Krishna and their madness of love for Krishna, began imitating the pastimes of Krishna in so many different ways. One would hold their arm, left arm up in the air, holding a bundle of sticks that was Govardhan Hill, and the others would circumambulate around the hill, singing songs glorifying Krishna, and so on. In madness of separation from Krishna. So Krishna decided, you know this pastime, but we'll nice to hear it anyway. So Krishna decided to play a trick. He appeared in the forest as four-armed Narayan. So the gopis all came running and fell at the feet of four-armed Narayan, saying, "Oh, dear Lord Narayan, you're omniscient. You must know where is Krishna. Please tell us where is Krishna." He just smiled. And so they went looking for Krishna. And then Srimati Radharani came. And there was four-armed Narayan. But the love of Radha was so strong that even Krishna couldn't maintain his four-armed Narayan form. He manifested his two-armed Krishna form, holding his flute. Because the love of Radha was so strong, Krishna became controlled by the love of Radha and showed his two-armed form. Now Krishna was discovered, although he was playing a trick. Another name of Krishna is Bhaktavatsala. He's the best friend of his devotee. So, another pastime of Krishna towards the end of the 10th canto is King Shrutadev and the Brahmana, Bahulashva, they were living at some distance, so they were never able to come to see Krishna, so Krishna went to see them. And when he came before the king and the Brahmana, both wanted Krishna to come to their home, one a palace and the other a simple residence of a Brahmana. So to satisfy them, Krishna manifested himself as two Krishnas. He went with each one. Each one thinking Krishna is so captured by my love, he's come with me alone. Or when Krishna was sitting with the cowherd boys having lunch, his potency was such that each of the cowherd boys felt that Krishna is attracted to me alone. He can't take his eyes off me. And each of the cowherd boys was thinking the same thing. Krishna is so much attached to me. But it wasn't in a prideful way they were thinking like that. It was a loving way. In a loving way. And so Krishna perfectly reciprocates with the love of his devotee. He becomes captured by the love of his devotee. And so he who wants nothing gets everything. It's a paradox. He who is the controller of all controllers becomes controlled. He who is the servant who wants nothing becomes served by the master who is everything and has everything. And one who is feeling that fullness can be situated in a truly loving exchange with others, without any expectation from others. And that's not self-abandonment. It's full surrender unto Krishna, where even, here's the idea of self-abandonment, where that which is actually your real interest, not the conditioned material interest, but your real interest is lost. That's what Maya is. We lose track of who we really are as spirit soul and part and parcel of Krishna. We lose that in favor of something that we think is our self-interest. when we're by mercy, by receiving that loving relationship that Krishna extends, and the dear devotees of Krishna extend that loving relationship with Krishna through their association, and we take that association, it's self-actualization, the real kind. Spend a little bit of time discussing trying to do that in a regulative way, or trying to do that in an imaginative way. A phrase that I am accustomed to using these days is from the head instead of from the heart. And instead, how to connect from the heart. So people ask, what does that mean? Or you want to describe it a little bit. What does that mean? And how do you do it? From the conventional sense of from the heart means with some feeling instead of mechanically. The process of bhakti is not like a vending machine. You know what a vending machine is? You see all the items that you like and you select one, you put in the coins in the slot, you pull the lever, and down comes whatever that item is that you wanted. Mechanical. So if I do this and pull the lever, and then Krishna Bhakti is going to come. And with that, Krishna, open up the package and Krishna is inside. devotional service is not a vending machine. It's not merely a set of do's and don'ts. Although nectar devotion finds a set of regulations and prohibitions, injunctions and prohibitions, there are some do's and don'ts. But the essence of bhakti is not the do's and the don'ts. It's not something simply mechanical. Rather, it's the feeling behind those activities. So acting from the heart or opening the heart means with those feelings. And what if somebody says, well, you know, I'm hard-hearted, I really don't have feelings. Now this goes a little bit into our chanting of the holy name, because we can also chant the holy name mechanically without feeling. And it's not satisfying any more than a vending machine is satisfying. But even if we're feeling that we don't have any feelings, that's a feeling. And chant with that feeling. Krishna, my heart is so hard, I don't even... You're making yourself readily available, just as Mahaprabhu says. I have no attraction. I know what the glories of the holy name are. Here they are. This and this and this and this. But I'm so durdaivam, idrisha mahajani na nuraga. My heart is so hard. I have no attraction. I have no feeling. And that's a feeling. One can feelingly pray to Krishna in that way and chant Krishna's name in that way, and engage in devotional service in that way. Engage in relationships, because especially relationships that are with Krishna at the center, that's what we're speaking about. Then it's Krishna should be pleased, but my heart is somewhere else. My heart is out to lunch. My mind is very active, and my heart is out to lunch. So, making offerings, as that Krishna speaks of in Bhagavad Gita, offering even very simple things, fruit, flower, leaf, and water, with devotion and love, I will accept. It's the act of offering with love and preeti, with affection, then Krishna accepts. Just like Krishna is accepting, of course there are different versions of Mahabharata, but when Krishna went to Vidura's home, and he was so excited, there's a British version that instead of saying bananas, and he offered him the banana peels, it's porridge. Mahārāja Caitanya Maharaj was sharing that with us. Who knows where that Mahabharata came from? But in country UK, porridge is like, you know, a poor man's meal. So he offered Krishna porridge. Anyway, in the banana peel version, he was so excited that he gave Krishna the banana peels instead of the banana, and Krishna ate the banana peels because it was offered with love. So excited to have the opportunity to serve Krishna. And Krishna accepts the love and the devotion with which we offer something, however simple it may be. And that's what a loving relationship is, where the interest, there's the Rupa Goswami's language is subject object. So the object becomes the object. That's the, you know, the recipient, the receiver of some feeling, emotion, or some action that's connected to or driven by some emotion. And that's the relationship, just like we heard Prahlad Maharaj describe to Lord Srinivasa. That's our relationship, and nothing else is our relationship. You're the master, and I'm the servant. There's nothing else going on. There's no hedging. There's no personal motivation. And that's what Maharaj Ambarish, excuse me, that's what Lord Vishnu was saying about Maharaj Ambarish. For such a devotee who has no personal interest, they take away my independence. With full independence, I place my full independence dependent upon them. Only by their indication will I act. If you want the Sudarshan chakra to go away, even it's my Sudarshan chakra, and I released it, only Maharaj Ambarish can free you from Sudarshan chakra. If he says, then I'll do. If he doesn't say, I won't do. And that's the servant. Ekala Ishwara Krishna Arasava Britya. That's the statement indicating that amongst there's one, Eka, who is the master of all, and all others are his servants. And that one is maintaining all. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam eko bahunam yogidadati kaman. So we're being maintained by that one. But that one, when one receives, back to the first discussion, when one receives that which Krishna is giving, it's not just the item, but the feeling with which Krishna is extending himself to us. When we receive that with proper gratitude, Krishna, it just turns the whole relationship around. We don't. Krishna apparently abandons himself, the supreme controller, abandons his controllership, which is who he is, and he becomes control. Because he's so attracted by the quality of love of his devotee. very deep, very mysterious, but it's the nature of loving exchange. And when that loving exchange is there, then we can enter into loving exchanges with others. And if we don't have that quality, then every other exchange that we have with others has some fruitive intention. Has to. Because we've abandoned ourselves. And we're needy. And we're needing something from another person in order to feel whole. There's going to be a... where's Jagatananda? Was that video shown today or tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. There's going to be a little video clip on this point that Krishna Leela is going to show tomorrow that was discovered by Rajiv. What's the title of it?
Missing
Peas in the Big O. So we're wanting... I'll just share the Krishna conscious aspect of this thing. We're wanting a sense of completeness. But we're looking for that sense of completeness by finding something outside of ourselves for that sense of completeness, when in fact, by design, we're already complete. Om Purnamadak Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate. We're already complete. But we don't understand that completeness because we've abandoned ourselves. And we've abandoned Krishna and that which we really are, eternal servants of Krishna. Looking here, there, everywhere for that sense of completeness. Even in relationship with others, for that's within that relationship I'll find the sense of completeness. But the sense of completeness is already a God-given thing that's already there in our relationship with Krishna. And when we have that relationship with Krishna secured, we can have completely satisfying relationships with others. And particularly, we want relationships with devotees, because devotees are carrying devotion for Krishna. And Krishna wants those who are his devotees to place some of their dust from their feet on his head so he'll get purified. That's what he's saying to Uddhava. That's how much Krishna feels affection for his devotee. He's not needing purification any more than Prahlad Maharaj is needing purification. But Prahlad Maharaj is feeling, I need purification. I've got all these material desires in my heart. Please, Krishna, remove those material desires so there's only one thing left. You and my relationship with you. And then so many things can be done. As Prahlad Maharaj lived as king, he ruled following Hiranyakashipu's rule. He became the king. And did so many things. The Puranas described so many things that Prahlad Maharaj did. One of those pastimes is described in Brihat Bhagavatamrita. I can't remember the detail of it. Something, he was on an expedition. Anybody remember this? Anyway. The Supreme Lord came as a disguise, as a hunter. I think it was something like, there was some game, and the hunter said, it's my game, by my arrow the animal was taken. And Prahlad Maharaj said, no it wasn't, it was my arrow. But no, it's my arrow, you have to go away, it's my game. Well, that's not right. If it, you know, it can be yours, that's okay, but you have to be honest. So they had a fight. It was the Supreme Lord. It was a long, long fight, and finally realized, this isn't just another hunter, this is the Supreme Lord and who I'm fighting. Oh, no. Because I was attached to some virtue, I couldn't even recognize my Lord. Instead of being attached to the Lord. Attachments can be very subtle. And when we're attached, we can't see We can't see ourselves. We can't see Krishna. We can't see mercy. We see the opposite of the opposite of the opposite. We see what we aren't. We see what Krishna isn't. And we see sorrow. And get, you know, lost. It happens all the time. So, if we can open our hearts to Krishna's mercy, then whatever the circumstance is that seems challenging, that's a politically correct word these days, challenging. You feel challenged, something's a difficult circumstance. That can be Krishna's mercy coming your way to help you. And it can be a sustained difficult circumstance. It just doesn't seem to go away. I can think of a few of them myself. Just don't seem to go away. They keep coming back and keep coming back. Don't go away. And somehow to carry on with a spirit of serving. Somehow Krishna wants this service. And it doesn't go away. The service just keeps, difficult circumstance keeps coming. To stay fixed in our relationship with Krishna, even in those circumstances that are challenging, or the other way, something becomes, I've also had this experience of late, something seems to be going very well, and going very well, and going very well, and becomes, wow, things are going very well. And thinking, expecting the next thing is going to go very well. And then, whoops, something happened here. I think I forgot Krishna. Because to enter into one of the verses that I read the first evening, to enter into the kingdom of God, one has to become free from those contaminations of inattentiveness. Inattentiveness is due to our material desire. Or pride, or whatever the version of it is, variety. To stay always in our relationship with Krishna. And that's not self-abandonment. That's an opening of the heart in circumstances where you will find when your heart is open, there are so many teachings that you heard, or instructions in Bhagavad Gita, or stories from Bhagavatam or Chaitanya Charitamrita, or just promptings from the Super Soul, the path becomes open. And the happiness is that reciprocation with Krishna. And then just acting in your relationship with Krishna while you're doing whatever the circumstance requires of you to do. That's very nice. Life in Krishna consciousness, even in a complex world that we live. And then we can extend ourselves to others in a service mood without any expectation. And that's the opportunity for loving exchange. It's not self-abandonment, it's real self-interest. Those are the thoughts that I wanted to share this evening. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Yeah.
I'm not able to capture the essence of what is self-abandonment to the person.
What's the term?
I'm not able to get what actually is left.
Some people say, I've heard many people say, there's different varieties of that, but a trendy variety now is, I really should express what I want. You know, I spend so much of my life doing what other people want. You know, I should say what I want and stand up for what I want and express it and be it. And that's, you know, self-assertive. instead of self-abandonment, just doing things that other people want. That's one kind of self-abandonment. So then those persons are encouraged, encourage others to, you know, be yourself. And, you know, that's another variety of illusion. And then other people say that when you surrender, you're just like doing this devotional service. But, you know, are you really satisfied, or do you really know who you are now? And aren't you just like mechanically doing a bunch of things? Blindly following? Be yourself. And, you know, more common street idea of surrender, like we discussed yesterday. If I surrender, then that's low. Shouldn't surrender. This is America. I should be independent. We abolished slavery long ago. Anything else? Yes? I'm going to repeat his question for those of you in the back. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, finish.
As I'm trying to do this, something that I'm also seeing is that there's a tendency to act sentimental and trying to act from my heart. So I can get caught up in the mood and other people, so I like to make it very clear for me so that I don't.
Okay, his question is making a statement that I've been trying to, instead of acting from my head, act from my heart. But I find when I do that, I sometimes get a sense that it's just a sentimental thing from the heart and not really from the heart. What to do? Something like that?
What to do? Clarity, the distinction between that.
Well, in the beginning of anything that you undertake, to a degree, it's just practice. It's not, you know, the real thing yet. It's not the full manifest thing. But what's driving even the practice is something, the seed of something that's real. Like we were discussing gratitude in a mature stage, that's devaki. In the immature stage, it's just, it's a feeling that's, you know, maybe a little feeling. Like, you know, I feel some gratitude. That was nice. That gesture someone did or said or something was nice. I actually feel some gratitude. So mixed with that little gratitude is, you know, a bunch of other stuff. Like, yes, yeah, right, I'm important. You know, pride and ego and so many other things. But by cultivation, that feeling of gratitude can grow and grow and displace all the other impure things. And similarly, just because it's a very nice frame of reference is chanting, and chanting with feeling. And initially there may be some sentiment involved in the chanting with feeling. Don't worry about it. Chant with feeling. Whatever the feeling, pick a feeling. find one on the shelf, take it off the shelf, and chant with that feeling. Like, oh boy, it's getting hot. And, you know, you're chanting. I'm feeling hot. But rather than just, you know, dully, mindlessly making a sound vibration, when you're there's no feeling. And there's no attention following that feeling, because there's no feeling. But when there's feeling and you're attending to that feeling, you're paying attention to that feeling, it will become a quality, a genuine quality. Try it. And then with quality will come quantity with quality. It's like one of the principles of chanting is one mantra at a time. Yeah. And one mantra at a time after so many mantras at a time makes one round. But one, you know, so start with something, even as you know, probably it's as you say, it's a sentiment. Nice try, but it's a sentiment. Just, you know, like a, you know, misplaced sentiment. But keep the trying is the what is the seed. The striving with sincerity to offer something to Krishna with devotion from your heart, and to receive something with genuine feeling of gratitude from your heart. You know, that will lead you to the soul. It'll become, that's the path. It's the seed of getting there. Something else? Yes? Look at this.
The opportunities of service are presented, I take certain considerations into account to determine.
You take the what into? I can hear you better without the microphone. You get some opportunity to render some service. What happens?
I take certain considerations into
like
who I am, what is my personality, and what is my nature.
Okay.
And I'm finding that as years are passing by and I look back upon these decisions that I've made, I'm finding they were really in self-abandonment, that my concept of who I am is changing.
Here's an example. Okay.
Over time. So I'm wondering, in the present circumstances, the big decisions, you know, I am seeking guidance, so I can be sure that, or to the extent that I'm acting under guidance, I can be sure that I'm not acting in self-abandonment.
But
the little things.
Little things are little things. Look at the big picture. All of us, or I should say, those that have been engaged in devotional service for some time. Where's Panchatattva? Those that have been engaged in devotional for service in some time. Things in our life change. I mean, there's some core things that remain, and there's all kinds of things that change. That's quite okay. It's not like, oh, I became a devotee and I lost my real identity. So, surrender is a moment-to-moment thing. But when we're surrendering moment to moment, we're not out of, you know, the super soul is there. He's it's for real. He's there. And he's prompting and guiding. And if you take a wrong turn, super soul will help you get back on track. And those who are guiding you as your mentors and so forth will help you get back on track. The little things are little things. The bigger thing is reaching toward Krishna. And Krishna isn't going to abandon you. You're going to realize the real self in your relationship with Krishna. That's the vital thing, the vital operative principle. And the little things are little things. When you do something that, from what I will go step back from what you said, if there's something that is placed before you in the form of service, and you're taking a look at yourself and saying, is this really my nature to do this service? If there's some surrender, well, I don't really see it's my nature, but I'll do it anyway. If it's not what Krishna wants you to do, Krishna will help you understand it's not what Krishna wants you to do. But it may be that Krishna wants you to do it because it's your relationship with Him that's important more than your nature. Let Krishna make all the adjustments. If the spirit behind the surrender is the relationship with Krishna, let Krishna want somehow, even some, let Krishna be pleased. And Krishna, if this is something you want me to do, please indicate that by whatever the means, because I can't discern it right now, and it's a surrender that's being asked of me. It's a service that's being placed before me. Let me do it. Let me do it for you. If you don't want me to be doing this, please protect me from making that mistake. Or ask representatives. And doing that, do make that ask in the same spirit. I just want this one thing. Two other little details. I've said this recently, I'll say it again, I don't mind saying it again. I'm doing so many things that are not my nature. But I'm also doing some things that people are saying, you know, they want me to do it, and I'm saying no. Not just because it's not my nature, you know, but it's a surrender that's not, something is being compromised that I don't want to compromise. I don't think Krishna would be happy. And I'm also realizing that some of the things that I think are not my nature is actually my nature. I didn't have a proper evaluation of what my nature is. And if I can be in that position, what to speak of your good self? So, don't worry about the little things. Worry about the relationship with Krishna, primarily. And rely on Krishna to, you know, bang on the side of the head if you get off the middle of the road or something. Fall asleep at the wheel. Thank you, Krishna. Yes. Project your voice so the people in the back can hear.
Prabhupada mentioned that there are some times where we focus on virtue and
there's some times when we focus on a virtue.
And we lose the main picture, like
yes.
Serving the Lord.
Yes. Yes.
So there are several situations in our day-to-day life that's similar to that. Like, say, for example, like keeping things clean. So can become an obsession to keep the things clean and not focus on connecting that with Krishna.
Ah.
How there are several situations like that. So how to like keep the focus on our connection with Krishna?
Chant nice rounds. It's a fact. And apply the teachings with devotion. Act from the heart. And the heart will guide you back to the middle of, you know, to what you should be doing. We have an eager hand up there. Yes. I can hear you very well. It's great. I wish everyone could speak as loud as you.
I have a reference to both these questions here.
Okay.
My question is around the magnitude and intensity of the chanting towards Krishna.
The magnitude and the what of chanting?
Intensity.
Intensity. Magnitude and intensity of chanting. Whoa. I'm going to have Keshav Acharya answer this question. I don't even know what the question is yet. Oh, okay. That was just a warm up. I'm not sure I understood your question, but I'll take a shot at it. Two things. One thing is Guru Sadhu Shastra. Our point of reference, our authority, pramana, right? A means of proof, means of knowing something, is Guru Sadhu Shastra. Including what I described about chanting. It's Guru Sadhu Shastra. But there's also, Anupam, can you lean one way or the other? Thank you. So, that's the standard that we use. But there's also, second part of the answer to your question is, when we are sincerely, although maybe a little sentimentally initially, but sincerely trying to take shelter of Krishna's holy name. We'll be doing that in about 20 minutes. As soon as we strive like that, then the indicators, Guru Sadhu Shastra indicators, become more clear to us than before. Because before, there's the filter program. And because the holy name is pure, those filters can be removed, or the coverings can be removed, or chaita darpana marjanam, if we chant in the proper manner. It helps us tune into the Krishna channel, so to speak. You know, the indications of Guru Sadhu Shastra heard properly. Same thing said in a different way. I've given this example many times because Prabhupada gave it. We need a means for purification and we need a means for direction in life. Scripture is the means for direction in life. Our means for purification is chanting the holy name. And it's like two railroad tracks. You need two of them to get the train to its destination, not just one of them. So we chant for purification, and then we go to the scripture in that purified state. We hear the message of the scripture so we can direct our lives properly. So both, parallel.
Why only this have
so many things, right? There's so many things. Because scripture indicates in this age of Kali, that's numero uno. In the Prabhupada's example, in the pharmacy, there's so many medicines. Someone could say, could you give me some medicine? Oh, sure. What medicine? Oh, any one of them, they're all nice medicines. But there's a prescribed medicine for a particular disease and especially for the severity of the disease. So in this age of Kali, there's prescribed medicine. Although there's so many medicines. Now, how do we know that? Through scripture, through and guru, sadhu, and shastra. On that authority, we chant the holy name. The authority is the scripture. Harer nama, harer nama, harer nama, eva kevalam. Kalau, in this age of Kali. Na asti eva, na asti eva, na asti eva. That's pretty emphatic, right? Kalo nasteva, 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 gatir anyata. Gati means the goal or destination. Anyata, it's not achievable by any other means. Okay. Harir nama. It's fine with me. Combine the chanting of holy name with other things. Ah, very nice. In this age of Kali. But without the chanting of the holy name, na asti eva.
So we can combine this.
Yeah, deity worship, the archana process, yajna, so on. Tapa, dan, and so on. The chanting of the holy name. Milk the cows, chant the holy name. Yes, Nilesh? Now. Good. Keep going.
So when do we really feel?
When do you do what? When you feel satisfied? When you reach Krishna, you feel satisfied. Anyone else? Yes.
Maharaj, you were saying that we're talking about how to understand what is our nature, what services we should be doing, and you were mentioning...
She was talking about that, I wasn't.
The whole topic was the surrender,
yeah.
Self-abandonment,
yeah.
Or self-realization.
Yeah. That's the topic.
Along these lines, you mentioned that we should be careful not to compromise. You mentioned that was one of the obstacles that should be avoided.
Yeah.
So what compromises should we be diligent to avoid? What are the possible obstacles and compromises we could come up against?
There's different categories, but the theme is the compromise of placing our interest, personal interest, instead of Krishna's interest. And it's like those guys on the street, you from New York, so the guys on the street that do that, you know, that they hear, you know, move the shells around, which one has to pee underneath, and exactly, you know, there's none of them that has the pee under it. It's just they just move things around. So the appearance that this isn't self-interest, this is Krishna's interest. like this question over here. How do we know? From Guru Sadhu Shastra. So when we want something to be the way that we want something, and Krishna isn't cooperating. And it can be a nice desire, you know, like the devotees here that want to make Gita Nagari an exemplary model of, you know, eco-friendly agriculture, simple living, high thinking, and it's not happening so easily. Why is Krishna not cooperating? And so even something that looks like it, in fact, it is. It's our spiritual master's desire. It's Krishna's desire. Founder Acharya's desire. It should happen. But so, or take, you know, you want to have a fantastic world Harinam day, a week, excuse me. World Harinam week. You'd like to, you know, build it and build it, and it's a Krishna conscious desire. Or take anything off the shelf, and you know, it's something that if it becomes our interest of pushing ourselves, or even though a nice thing, but it's our ego gets in the way. It takes pure devotion to make something very wonderful manifest. We have to be followers of Rupa Goswami, maintain enthusiasm, and be very patient at the same time, with firm conviction in Krishna. And be unwavering in that. So, one of the categories of things to watch out for is our personal interest getting in the way, even with some Krishna conscious things. What to speak of things that aren't Krishna conscious things getting in the way. That happens too. And since our topic is relationships, when, you know, why aren't they cooperating? Right? You know, this is Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. Why don't they just like everybody get out there for a whole week and have Harinam, at least for a week? Right? Come on. Well, what's wrong with these guys? Now, you know, what greater purity do I need to have in order to inspire that which Krishna wants? But beware of that. Seek purity first. I'm going to end, if that's all right. Keshav Acharya, can you come and chant?